I'd like to thank Mr. Kenny for his words of welcome. It's a real joy, and I look on it as a real privilege to stand here tonight and give a word of testimony. Could I say that my testimony is to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. What I'm going to do tonight is tell you something, how I got saved. Then I was telling Mr. Kenny one night about I had the privilege for many, many years of traveling with Dr. Paisley to many meetings. I could stand here the next Christmas and tell you about some of the meetings. But there's three very special meetings that stick out in my mind. I'll never forget them until the day I die. And I hope they'll be an encouragement to you. And then very briefly, just a little word from the Lord that the Lord gave me today about Amos, prepare to meet thy God. I'm a townie. I was brought up in Belfast in a place called Donegal Pass. The Reverend Fred Greenfield says that I'm a cousin to him. He was brought up in the Donegal Road and I was brought up in Donegal Pass. So he said I'm his cousin. I was brought up in a family of five girls and one boy. And I'm the only boy. And I was the baby, some baby. But you know, it was great having sisters because I didn't have to do the dishes. It was great in that way. But you know, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a home that my mum and dad, in those days, the people in Belfast believed in sending their children, Mr. Kenny will back me on this, sending their children out to Sunday school. I wish that would happen today. We find it very hard to get the children out to Sunday school. But my mum and dad made sure that I was sent out to Sunday school. I had a faithful Sunday school teacher, a man called Mr. Stewart, who showed me the scriptures. And he saw the young men in his class come to know the Lord. He had something like about 13 boys in his class. And he saw every one of them come to the Saviour except me. And I remember when I became the age of 15, I was going out to start work. And Mr. Stewart, I went to him this Sunday and I said, Mr. Stewart, I'll not be back to Sunday school. And I can see the tear in that old man's eyes. And he said to me, Tommy, if you leave this Sunday school class today without trusting the Lord as your Savior, there'll be one missing in my Sunday school. And you know, my friend, my hackles got up. And I said, Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I'm as good as any of these boys. I go to Sunday school. I go to children's meetings. I'm in the Boys' Brigade. I go to the Boys' Brigade Bible class. I'm as good as anybody. But you know, that old saint of God said to me, you know, I have a picture in God's Bible about you, Tommy. And I said, Mr. Stewart, you don't have my picture in your... He says, I do. He says, I want to show you what God thinks of all your righteousness. And he turned to that verse, all your righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of just God. And you know, my friend, this is the verse he left with me. And you find it in Genesis 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man. That was the verse he left with me. You know, my great desire as a young man was to be a professional footballer. That's all I lived for, to be a professional footballer. I started to work as an apprentice electrician, and we had a big job down in Cordals that we were working at. And during lunchtime, we used to go and play football. And little did I know that one of the men in Carrick, place in Cordals, was the manager of Carrick Rangers Football Club. And he approached me and he said, Tommy, would you come and sign and play for us? And I thought this was my life. I thought this was going to be brilliant. I'm going to be a professional footballer. And then another time, I was approached to sign for Distillery. And then I was asked to sign for Ards. And this was my life. During the winter, my life was playing football. And during the summer, I was a member of Donegal Pass Defenders Flute Band. I used to play the side drum. And I loved this. This was my life. And I forgot all about the Lord. I forgot about everything I learned in Sunday school. But you know, my best friend in that band had a cousin. And she went to a little mission hall round Sandy Row, the Emmanuel Mission Hall. And Tommy took me round one day to meet his cousin. My wife's not with me tonight, so I can say this. I fancied her. And that's what the reason that I went. No, my wife met her a bit later because that girl invited us to the meetings. And you know, I had no time. I was only going because I wanted to try and get off with her. But you know, that girl prayed for me and prayed for my soul that I would get saved. But you know, one Sunday I was walking up through Belfast, and as I was walking up that Sunday night, there was an open air meeting at the front of the city hall. And the men were coming forward and they were giving what's called gospel shots. They were calling out gospel verses. And what do you think hit me between the eyes? My spirit shall not always strive with man. And excuse me, everything came back into my mind. All about Mr. Stewart telling me that I was a sinner, that I needed the Savior. You know, that Sunday night I went home and I got up. And the next morning all the apprentices used to sit at the back of the bus. And we all used to discuss the sins that we got up to at the weekend. And the other boy said to me, "Tommy, what is wrong with you? You're not your normal self. There's something wrong with you." You know, friends, I didn't realize that God's Spirit was striving with me. And you know, I said, "Ugh, I just don't feel well." And you know, when it came to lunchtime, I was the first to run and get the ball and get out to play football. But I had no interest. And they said to me, "Tommy, there's something definitely wrong with you." And all that week, God strove with me. That Sunday night, I walked along Great Victoria Street and I had to meet a friend of mine who was coming from the army. And the only place I never drank, that's one thing, I never got the taste of drink, but I would go into the bars with my friends. I think I became a Coke alcoholic, if I could put it that way. I would take Coca-Cola till it run out of my ears. And I was to meet my friend Bobby. But you know, I was sitting in that church and I'd never even heard what the preacher was saying. That verse came back and back and back, and this was in the early 60s. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And I remember walking out in the front of the church, outside the door, and I said, "Lord, Mr. Stewart says if I call upon your name, you'll save me. Save me now." And you know, as I was walking round to meet my friend Bobby, I kept saying to myself, "How am I going to tell him that I got saved?" And you know, as I approached Bobby, he looked at me and he says, "Tommy, there's something wrong with you." And I says, "You know, Bobby, I've just got saved there." And you know, the Lord had prepared the way. He says to me, "Suppose you'll not be coming in here with me." I says, "That's right." I remember going home and I remember walking in and my mum was doing the dishes. Remember what I said before? I never done the dishes. I lifted the dishcloth and started to dry the dishes. And my mommy said, "What is wrong with you?" And I says, "Mommy, I've got saved." And she says, "Tommy, I want to tell you something." She says, "Your grandmother, your daddy's mother, was a Christian. And when she heard that I was pregnant with you, she prayed that you'd get saved." And, excuse me, she says, "That's the answer to your grandmother's prayer." And you know, my friend, all the things that I enjoyed went out the window. I had no time for the football. on a Tuesday and a Thursday. I couldn't wait to get to meetings. I joined a little testimony band. I used to play the guitar in those days. And I joined a testimony band. And we were out on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And that was the night of the football training. And I remember going and telling the manager, I'll not be back. I remember going to the band and telling them, I'll not be back. And I remember them saying, oh, it'll only be for a while. It'll run off the ditch. You know, that was way back in the 60s, in September 66, that I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And you know, my friends, since that, I've saw my mum and dad are both in glory. I had the joy of pointing my father to the Savior. And I had the joy to see my mum and my sisters coming to know the Lord. And I had the best telephone call that I ever got a couple of weeks back when my little grandson, who was 7 years old, rang and said, Granda, after coming out of Portofogie Children's meeting, I got saved. And you know, friend, tonight, if you trust the Lord as your Savior, you'll never know what will happen in your life. You know, the old things passed away. The old desires that I had went away. If you'd have told me many, many years ago that I'd be an elder in the Free Presbyterian Church, if you told me that I'd be preaching and singing around our churches, I've been telling you, you need to go and get your head felt. But you know, it's wonderful what the Lord does. The Lord comes in and he changes a life. I needed to go somewhere to hear the gospel. And a good friend of mine was a man called Eric Smith. He's now Pastor Eric Smith in Jesus Saves Church. And Eric said to me, Tommy, I've the very church for you to go to. It's a little church in Glenturn Street off the Ravenhill Road. And I remember going into that church and I remember sitting down and I heard the people praying in the prayer room. Then I heard the singing. Then I saw this man stand up and preach. I never heard preaching like it. It was the first time I ever met Dr. Paisley. And I remember a couple of weeks later, I was coming, walking into the church one day, and he hit me a slap in the back. He had an awful habit of doing that, as you know, brother. And he said, son, can you drive a car? And I says, yes, I can. He said, could you go and pick up my wife and my family? Because the man who does it can't do it. And that's how I started off going about with Dr. Paisley. I was telling you about the great meetings. One Sunday night, he said to me, Tommy, I'm only speaking for about 15 minutes in Martyrs. I'm handing over to W.P. Muir, one of our elders, and you and I are going with my wife to Londonderry. It was the opening of the new church in Londonderry. It was being built, and it was a tent mission. And we arrived there about 20 past nine, and God's servant started to preach. And at the end of that meeting, 29 precious souls came to the Lord. And I remember sitting round with about five round me, leading them to the Lord. The Reverend James McClellan, the brother of Frank McClellan, was a minister. He had a number around him. And Mrs. Paisley had a number around her. My own minister, Dr. Brown, was telling me that he was the minister down in Londonderry for many years. He told me that many of the people that were saved that night are still members in that church. I'll never forget that night. We came home singing the best that we could. But there was another meeting one Sunday afternoon. It was down in our Portofogie church. The minister was the Reverend, the minister in Ballymoney. Reverend Park was the minister at the time. And just about 15 minutes before the end of the meeting, a lady jumped out to her feet and she said, Preacher, I'll get saved now. I never saw that in my life. And Dr. Paisley said, Mr. Park, go and lead that woman to the Lord. About 10 minutes later, a girl jumped to her feet at this side and she said, I'll get saved now, Preacher. And he said, Mrs. Park, lead that woman to the Lord. We went up to the manse to get something to eat. And Dr. Paisley never got anything to eat that night because people were coming to the manse up in Portavogie and people were getting saved. I'll never forget that meeting. But the meeting I'll never forget was the meeting in the Ballymena Town Hall. And I would advise you to get that little booklet that the Reverend Beggs has written about that. I remember sitting in the meeting, and if you had looked in the meeting, you'd have thought that there was nobody coming to those meetings, because the only people that were in the meeting were the unsaved. All of God's people were in praying. And you know what happened was there was people praying over each other, but there was no confusion. And you know, when the people came out, what a time it was. I remember seeing people having to be helped into the inquiry room because they were so under deep conviction. I remember seeing Mr. Beggs practically having to carry a man. And Mr. Beggs told us one night that he was in bed one night and the phone rang. And this man came on the phone. He says, "Mr. Beggs, get to my house quickly. I can't sleep. I need someone to lead me to the Lord." And as Mr. Beggs went into that little village, there was other people hearing that he was there. And he was going round houses leading people to the Lord. My friend, that was God working. And it wasn't just Dr. Paisley. God was using all our men. All our men were working. I told these stories to our people in Hillsborough one Sunday night, and we had a cup of tea afterwards, and the people approached me and they said, "Tommy, why is it not happening today?" And I said, "My friends, I have to tell you that God's people are not praying." And they said, "We are praying." I says, "Aye, but there's praying and there's sacrificial praying. God's people were praying." I remember on a Friday night in our little church, the men were coming in their boiler suits, bringing their peace boxes with them, praying from 10 o'clock at night to 7:30 on a Saturday morning, getting a cup of tea, going to the shipyard, going to the Shirocco Works to do their work. God's people were praying. My friend, the Bible tells us, "Of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and will heal their land." Oh, what a time it was. You say to me, "Can God do it again?" Yes, he can. It wasn't Dr. Paisley. It wasn't Willie McRae. It wasn't all our men. It was God speaking through these men. It was God's working. And you know, God can do it again. My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, my prayer is that you'll come and trust him who to know is life eternal. Just for about 10 minutes or so, I want us to look at that verse in Amos chapter 4, and it's the verse 12. "Therefore thus will I say unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do it unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. This was a different people of Israel. They had forgotten about God. They had forgotten what God had done for their forefathers. They had turned away from God. They had turned away from the things of God. And God told his servant, "I am going to judge Israel." And Amos came to the people of Israel and he said to prepare to meet their God. My friend, I would say across Ulster tonight, I would say across the British Isles tonight, we have turned away from God. We've turned away from the things of God. We've turned away from the worship of God. And I would say to our country, prepare to meet thy God. But you know, my friend, if you're in this meeting without Christ, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I would say to you tonight, prepare to meet God. You say to me, "Tommy, how can I prepare to meet God?" Well, the first thing I want to suggest to you tonight, you need to come and prepare to meet God personally. You need to come to prepare to meet God personally. I had to come personally. Nobody in my family was saved. I couldn't depend on my mum and dad's salvation. They weren't saved. I couldn't depend on anybody's salvation because I didn't know anybody that was saved. My friend, you need to come personally to the Lord Jesus. You know, the world would say to us, you would say to me, how can I come personally and meet God? The world would tell us we need to go to some theologian to find that answer. The world would tell us we need to go to some Bible seminary to find that answer. But you know, my friend, I have God's word in my hand. And God's word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To get to God personally, you must come through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, my friend, tonight, if you don't come and trust the Lord as your Savior, someday you'll meet him as your judge. I lifted a little book the other day, and it told a story about a young man, and he was riding his bicycle along a place where there were tram lines. And as he was riding his bike along the tram lines, his bicycle got caught in the tram lines. And this tram was coming, but the young man didn't see it. And this gentleman saw the peril and the danger that he was in, and he grabbed the young man and he pulled him to safety. But you know, that young man had got into trouble, and he was to appear at court the next day. And he was standing in the dock. And what a shock he got when he looked up and he saw the man in the judgment. And the judge heard the evidence, and he told the young man to stand to his feet. And he says, young man, do you remember me? And the young man nodded. He said, young man, yesterday I was your Savior, but today I'm your judge. Yesterday I saved your life from that awful tragedy that could have happened. But today, I have to give judgment. And you know, my friend, the Bible tells me that one day there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And if you haven't had your sins washed in the precious blood, if you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to have to stand before him as your judge. Oh, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet him personally. But you know, my friend, you need to prepare to meet him properly. You may need to prepare to meet him properly. You know, people have this hazy, crazy idea that they can work their own way to heaven. I thought I could do it. Do you remember what I said? I went to my Sunday school teacher and I said, I'm as good as anybody. But I didn't realize that I was a sinner. I was a lost sinner. I didn't realize that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I didn't realize that by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God. I thought I could work my way to heaven. But friend, you can't work your way to heaven. Oh, you need to come personally. You need to come properly. But you need to come promptly. You need to come promptly. I remember saying to Mr. Stewart, well, okay, if I need to be saved, sure, I'll get saved when I'm 60 or 70. But you know, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. On the way down, I just put on the news just to hear what was happening. And I heard of another tragedy. A little child was killed in a motor accident last night. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet him properly. Prepare to meet him promptly. And prepare to meet him personally. Just in closing, I lifted a little track, and it told a story about this lady. She was a very religious lady, and she was going to a great ball in the centre of London. And as she was walking to the ball, this preacher approached her, and he said, "Dear, are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? Do you know the Lord is your Saviour?" And you know, this lady took this as a real insult. And she went and went off to the ball. But you know what she said in the ball? She got no peace. That came back into her mind. Are you washed in the blood? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Saviour? And she had no peace, so she went home. And she went, as she was sitting in the house, she made herself a cup of tea. But she said, "I'll go to my bed and it'll go out of my mind as I go fast asleep." But what a night she had. It kept eating into her and it kept coming back to her. She got up the next morning and she says, "I'm going to have to find this preacher and speak to him." She found where the preacher lived and she knocked the door and she told him the story. And she said, "Preacher, I know now that I need to be saved, but I don't know how to get saved." And the preacher said to her, "Dear, just come as you are. Just come as you are. A guilty, hell-deserving sinner." And you know, that lady went home to her house and she got down on her knees and she said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me, wash me, cleanse me in your blood. I'm coming just as I am." And you know, that woman got up and she wrote one of the most beautiful hymns that God has used at many of our gospel missions. That lady was called Charlotte Elliott. And she wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, but that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." My friend tonight, don't be like me. The only thing that I was sorry, I was 18 years of age when I was saved. I was sorry I wasn't saved when I was 6. My wife was saved when she was 6 years old. Dr. Paisley was saved when he was 6 years old. Now, my friend, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He can save you. My prayer is that my Savior may be your Savior too. Prepare to meet God personally. Prepare to meet him properly. Prepare to meet him promptly. Amen.